Today, let's take a look at one of the better-known parables of Jesus, the story of the foundations laid on sand and rock. Here it is from Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 29 in the New International Version. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Naturally, a foundation is something that can be tangible or intangible. In the parable, Jesus is comparing the tangible foundation of a house to the intangible foundation of obeying his teaching. To better understand the context of this parable, it might be helpful to know why this made so much sense to his followers. All throughout Judea, there are wide stream beds that remain dry for much of the year. To someone who doesn't look too closely, these beds might look like great places to build. But spring rains come every year and wash them all out. The thing is, the sand in those beds isn't all that deep. It may look like it's solidly packed, but it washes right away in those rains. One of the things that's interesting here, and one of the many reasons that this parable is so wise, is that the guy who built his house on rock didn't have to dig very far to find the solid rock he'd need to withstand those rains. The foolish guy didn't bother digging at all. He just threw his house up, and of course, down it came with the rains. The people listening at the time, since they knew the area, would have understood that part of the story right away, but I wonder how many of us have caught that. I mean, the difference between skipping the prep work to go right for the benefit and taking a little extra time to make sure we get lasting results. So what is it that we should be working at? What are we digging through? Well, to me, it seems that the work is to shed the worldly influences we've gathered up. That's the sand that gets in the way of applying what we know to be true from the Word. Rather than building on that, we need to be focusing on God as the rock on which we build our foundation. Looked at another way, building your life on the truth of what Jesus taught is something that takes patience, perseverance, and the willingness to wait in faith for what we know is coming. One of the worldly influences we have to watch out for is that impulsiveness that causes us to want what we want and want it now, ignoring the possible pitfalls and avoiding the work. If we build our lives on that, we won't have much of a foundation to hold us up when the rainstorms of worldly trials and troubles come along. On the other hand, if we take the time to learn what Jesus taught, accept on faith that it's truth, and build our lives on that, there's nothing in the world that will be able to take us down. We have the strongest foundation there is. To sort of pull the point of this parable together, there are three key ideas to understand. First, you never know how strong your foundation is until a storm comes along. Second, if your relationship to God is only as deep as the rest of your life, you have no foundation. You've got to let Him be the bedrock. Third, the difference that ties it all together is obedience to Christ, obedience to the Word. Remember, Jesus rested the key to the parable on the difference between a person who only hears and a person who hears and does. It's easy to say, I love God. That's sand on the surface. It takes a little more digging to get to what Jesus was talking about in John 14:21 when he said, "Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me." Now, without belittling the importance of this in the slightest, it's also pretty easy to accept Christ as Savior. It's really sort of silly not to if you think about it. It does take a little more digging, though, to truly accept Him as Lord, as in Master, Leader, and Focus. I want to be careful to point out that I'm not talking about salvation here. I'm not saying that if you don't do this, you lose your salvation. As far as I'm concerned, the salvation work is done. On the other hand, smarter people than me argue and debate over that point every day, so I'm not going to bother with it. What I'm talking about here is the work you need to do after you've become a Christian. What I'm talking about here is what will make someone who knows you wonder how to get what you've got. What I'm talking about is how your faith can keep you from crashing and burning when everything around you is falling apart. What I'm talking about is the difference between singing a hymn and living one. The difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing Him. The difference between looking at Him and embracing Him and having Him embrace you back. I'm talking about being in the world but not being of the world. I'm talking about opening yourself up to be a receptacle for the spectacular power of the Holy Spirit and then knowing what to do about it. This is about being the salt and the light of the world that Jesus was talking about. This is about stripping away everything but God until you have nothing else left, so you can truly realize that He's more than enough. What's your foundation built on? If you're not so sure, I want to invite you to read the Gospel of John and get to know Jesus again. Then take a look at the books of Romans and James to see some practical, fleshed-out advice on living in obedience to Christ. We'll be looking at these things from time to time in this ministry, but don't wait for me. Get in there and dig.